Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
Thanks be to God for being here today. God has given us another day to live in this world. Forgive me for my noise. I had some terrible problems this week, so bear with me on that. God has given us another day to worship together in here and also online. Good morning, everyone online. Let me know if you have any trouble hearing or music or anything that comes out differently. Let us turn to the announcements in the second page in the bulletin. Those are the regular announcements that I have. Continue to take part in the food bank ministry that we have for the Thanksgiving, particularly during this holiday season. Please donate in kind or in cash. And also the books are available, which also will be available for a sale for our missions. Continue to work on the art class and the cooking class. We'll let you know the dates. The third Thursday luncheon will be December 21st at 1 p.m. On Thursday. Please join for a time of lunch and fellowship. The called annual conference was yesterday. I will give you an update at the end of the announcements. The Thanksgiving lunch will be next Sunday, November 26th after service. So please bring whatever you have, maybe leftover from Thursday, would be fine. Whatever you can bring, we'll have the combined lunch with the Hispanic people and then have a time of fellowship and Thanksgiving during that time and also celebrate our monthly blessings, anniversaries and birthdays and all that. Our Christmas lunch will be Sunday, December 24th. We will be giving out gifts to the children during the lunch that time. So if you plan to donate anything to the children's gift, please mark it in your check or in an envelope, mark it for the children's ministry and the children's gift for Sunday's, for the Hispanic youth ministry there. We have some leftover money from the garage sale that we plan to use for buying gifts for those children. Many of you have heard that before, that there are at least four children without parents. So we have kind of adopted them for their regular expenses. We have been supplying them with help with groceries and books and supplies. And this is a time also that we have to step up and be their parents to give them the gifts. And I'm getting a list from them indirectly without them knowing, without us them knowing what they want, but they're collecting a list of items that they would like to have. So if I get that this week or next week, I will let you all know. I'll put a list over there. You can buy them and make it as a surprise gift. Thank you all for joining this mission of this church in your service, in your time and energy and presence and gifts and witness to the Lord through this ministry of this church. Please continue. Let us continue doing that as we step into the new phase of our church after disaffiliation, yesterday's decision that the annual conference has made, based on the practice of homosexuality, and particularly ordination of gays and lesbians as ministers, that our church took a stand 2 months ago that we are going to stand by the scripture, and we cannot accept those kind of unscriptural practices. So that's why we had to make a decision to disaffiliate or not. Thanks be to God that they approved 261 churches out of 600 that remains in the North Georgia United Methodist that disaffiliated yesterday. Add to that the 72 that disaffiliated last year. So that makes it about 330 churches. Almost half of the North Georgia Conference has decided to take a stand to be faithful to the scripture. And I'm thankful for this church, that we are called not to be just be here as a social group. It is not that. We have a ministry to do and uphold the scripture that is given to us. No matter what happens around us and around the world, we are not going to change based on what the world wants us to do. So thanks for all your support on that. We have several things to do on that update. They gave us a bunch of documents to fulfill. Particularly the name of the church, we cannot use United Methodist anymore. So we have to find a name. I would rather some kind of a neutral name. That's what everybody suggests, and that's what I would like to do, so that we won't be captured into any more this kind of doctrinal issues in the future. And also we have to redo the deed of the land and the property. So Robert and I had to work on it and get that done. And we have to pay a bunch of money. So it always comes to money. I was talking to Jean after Jean left a little earlier yesterday. There were like four churches that were pulled out, that were approved before. And those are big churches that have millions of dollars in apportionments. So I don't know what they're going to do, but they denied four churches from disaffiliating. You can read that in the newspaper also. It's already in the newspaper. So it's not about money, but for some purpose for the big church, it is about money. So I'm glad that we are able to make an independent stand and get our title on our own name, so that nobody can come and say, we are going to close the church and sell the property. So that's on us now, so we can take ownership of that. Robert and I will work on that to get that deed signed up. And they have also asked us to surrender many of our documents. I don't know what we have documents like, historical documents, membership rolls. I have gone through some of them. Whatever we have, we'll surrender to the conference. And also, they might ask us for returning all the United Methodist hymnals. We bought these hymnals, and you all know that these are not, the conference paid for it. We paid for it. Particularly individuals paid for it. So if individuals paid for it, I believe we can keep them. So we have to figure out how many hymnals that individuals have paid, and how many that the originals who were here paid us a church. I don't know how many of them, but we have to return some of those. But we'll buy those back later, because it's available on Amazon. So anybody can buy and use them. That's what it is. So we should not have any issues with that. Those are the main items that we have to fulfill, and we have 30 days to do that, right? Or this December 31st, so a little bit more than 30 days. So we should work on that. We'll talk about that after the service today, Robert, and it should not be that bad. We can get that going done. So please keep us in our prayers and keep our church in your prayers, and thank you for your faithful support of this church that has been here for 100 and some years, because our forefathers gave this land and this place for a purpose. Let us be faithful to that purpose and continue the ministry here without having anybody to come and say that, no, this is not how you do it. This is what we are telling you to do it. We don't want that. So thank you, and thanks be to God for that. I think I gave you a good update on the annual conference. Anything else, Gene, you want to add?
No.
No? Okay. Yeah, so you missed the big drama after that. Yes, Robert.
I don't understand the part about four big churches, they did not allow them to disaffiliate. Is that what you said?
Yeah, there were 11 churches. They had a 72 churches in the list. And they were all called out in a list in the beginning, all 272. And then people were asked if anybody has any objections on any of these churches to come and speak. So there were people coming out and speaking against disaffiliation for these about 11 churches. And then they were taken out and put as a separate ballot. So the first 261 made a big group. Nobody spoke against those churches. So they were passed without any issues, 80% to 20%. But when we came to the 11 churches, people started speaking back and forth for each church. And eventually, seven of them got passed. And then four remained that did not pass. So that's how it happened.
And those just happened to be really large churches?
Yeah, they are big churches.
What they had, all of the churches that were called out, each superintendent called out the church.
What percentage for all the churches did you need to pass the disaffiliation, like 60-40, or did they...
No, in that meeting, only 51%.
51%. Half plus one. It wasn't a 60%.
No, the 60% was for the local church meetings. But yesterday's meeting, to ratify the local church decisions, we needed only a majority, simple majority. So I was looking for the four churches that were pulled out, that were denied, was Griffin First, Trinity Rome, McEachern, and the Fountain at Sugarloaf. Those are the four churches. Mount Pisgah and St. James Alfred were pulled out, but thanks be to God, they passed by very narrow margin. Because you know those are big churches. So they passed. So these four churches were denied. So that's where we stand. Anything else? If nothing else, let us continue worshiping God together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The opening hymn is hymn number 400, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. If you are able, please stand. Please be seated. Let us pray. God of all blessings and God of all mercies, we thank you for this opportunity that you have given us to come before you as your children, here and also online, to worship you, Lord. We thank you for the gift of life, along with all the blessings you shower upon us every day. The gift of this day today, to live one more day in this world, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the health and strength you have given us to get up this morning, so that we can praise you and worship you, Lord. We thank you for everything that you give us, Lord, materially, physically, and spiritually. It is all because of your mercies and not because of any of our merits. We thank you for the beauty that the eyes can see and for the joy that the ears may hear, for that many things that we enjoy in our lives that cannot be purchased or taken for granted. We thank you for the families. We thank you for the church. We thank you above all for your Son Jesus Christ, who came to this world to die for us so that we can call you Father, so that you can call us children. We thank you for this day, for life, and one more day to live and the opportunity to be a blessing in this world. Thank you for your amazing power and work in our lives and also in this church's lives. Help us, Lord, to worship you in truth and in spirit with all the saints in this world and angels in heaven. We praise you. We adore you. Help us, Lord, to lift up your name in everything we do here in our singing, in the prayers we make and the meditation of the word. In all these things that we do here, Lord, bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is our greeting time now. If you are able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love. Do the responsive reading. I stayed back from you, from hugging you all, because I love you so much. Because I don't want to give anything to you. Please stay away from me. We'll do the responsive reading. It is Psalm 40, verses 1 through 11, on page 774. Please stand if you are able.
Wait patiently for the Lord, who inclined to me and heard my cry.
The Lord drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the mud bog, set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure.
The Lord put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God.
Many will see and be in awe and put their trust in the Lord.
Blessed are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after false gods.
O Lord, my God, you have multiplied your wondrous deeds, and your thoughts toward us none can compare with you.
Where were I to proclaim and to tell of them, they would be more than can be numbered.
Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you have given me an open ear.
Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required.
Then I said, Lo, I come. In the roll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart.
I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation.
Lo, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord.
I have not hid your saving help within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation.
I have not concealed your steadfast love and faithfulness from the great congregation.
O Lord, do not withhold your mercy from me.
Let your steadfast love and faithfulness ever preserve me.
Amen.
The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. It's our prayer time now, where we come before God and lift up our prayers of praises and concerns together as a church family, trusting in God's promise that He will answer our prayers according to His time and His will. We share our prayers of blessings first, and we thank God for all the blessings, and also we'll share the burdens and concerns after that. If you turn with me to the back of the bulletin, if you would, for the regular prayer items that we continue to pray for these people and these items listed at the back of the bulletin. Pray for these items and people regularly in your daily prayers. Continue to pray for Guillermo. Guillermo and Liliana are online with us. Do you want any update, Liliana? No, you don't have any updates. And also Harry and Jan. Thanks for joining. Do you want to give any update? No? Okay. We'll keep you all in our prayers. Pray for Jim Otticelli. Heard that he took a turn in the words last night. So we don't know anything can happen in the next few hours. So please keep Jim and his family during this difficult time to have peace, particularly for that family. there in Chicago. Pray for Lou Hughes. She had a back pain and she's getting a little better. I have talked to her a couple of times this week. But she needs a lot more prayer. She is not able to move around as she used to. So please keep that in our prayers. Continue to pray for Skip and Ronnie and Jerry Hayes. And also pray for peace in the Middle East, in Israel and Palestine particularly. Continue to pray for our service workers, particularly during this holiday season. The police, fire and military, our grocery clerks and delivery people, trash workers, many, many others, postal workers, that they will be safe during this time, and also pray for their family safety. Pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress and governors and many, many others who make decisions, that God will give them the wisdom to make the right decisions. And also pray for world leaders that they will make decisions to bring peace and unity in this world. Pray for our church and leaders of the church and all the churches around us in this world that we'll be faithful to the doctrines and the scripture and also do the work that God has given us to do to share his love, care and compassion to the community that we are living in.
Your brother?
My brother and his wife.
Where are they?
They're in Alpharetta, so they're here.
Yep. Lisa's brother, David, and his wife, Laura, please keep them in your prayers as they're grieving at the death of their sister.
Laura's
sister. So please keep that family in our prayers. Please also keep Carol in our prayers. Is she doing okay?
No, not this morning.
Let her know we pray for her and we love her. Those are the prayer requests that I have. Any others? Any call outs? Anything? Praises that praise God? Thank God for another Thanksgiving that God has given us in our lives, especially during this week. A lot of people are traveling. Keep them also in our prayers. If there are no special call-outs in this group, let us go to God in prayer, spend a few moments in silent prayer, then I will close with a closing prayer. The scripture says, the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. Loving God and our Heavenly Father, we come before you because your ears are always open to our cries. We thank you for the many blessings that you shower upon us every day, Lord, even when we are not aware of it. We thank you for keeping us safe through this day and thank you above all for the gift of life that you gave us to be here in this world. We come before you with a heart full of gratefulness, Lord. So particularly during this season, that the many ways that you have led us through in the past year, we come before you looking back and reflecting and thanking you for all of those. And also we come before you as broken people in many different ways, broken in our bodies, broken in our souls and in our spirits. But you are the one who can make us whole, even youth grow tired and weary and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. We thank you for the strength that you give us when we are weak. We thank you for the comfort that you give us when we are lonely and we feel sorrow and grief. We thank you for the peace that passeth all understanding you give us, Lord, when we are in distress. Thank you again for always being there, guiding us and comforting us. We lift up all those who that we have just named here, Lord, in your presence. Especially we pray for Guillermo, we pray for Harry, we pray for Lou, and pray for Skip and Jerry Hayes and Ronnie. We pray for your special hand to bless them. Above all, we pray for peace and healing for them and also peace for their families. We particularly also lift up Jim Otticelli in your hands at this time as he is towards the last moments of his life, according to what the doctors say. But you are the ultimate healer and you are the physician. We lift him up into your hands. Whatever your will be done, Lord. We pray for him to have peace at this time. We pray for his family, all those who are gathering there this weekend, Lord, to be with him. Pray for peace for them. We pray for all those who are going through severe problems like that in their lives, diseases, sickness, family problems and work problems and personal issues and relationships and everything that people are going through. We pray for your guidance and comfort during this time in their lives and their families' lives. We also pray for peace in the Middle East, particularly in Israel and in Palestine. We pray for your grace upon the leaders there, that they will be guided by your Spirit, that they will bring lasting peace in those areas. Pray for world leaders also, that they will also make decisions fearing God that will bring peace to this world. We pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and all those who are serving us behind the scenes. We thank you for their services and pray for them and their family's safety. We pray for the world leaders and the church leaders. And help us, Lord, to move forward in the near future for our church as we take a new step in a new direction. We thank you again for this time of prayer that you have given us. We also lift up David and Laura and their family in your hands during the time of their grief. We pray for your comforting presence and peace for their families as well. We pray that you be with us today, Lord. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit, Lord. Help us to honor your name and lift up your name in all the things that we do here. Above all, we seek your presence and your healing touch to touch each and every one of us, Lord, as we depart from here. To be filled with your power and spirit, that we can be your witnesses to share your love and care and compassion to others wherever you place us during the coming days. We thank you again for your presence in our midst. Continue to guide us as a church, Lord. Strengthen us so that we can be powerful witnesses for you. Be with us today, Lord. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit. Let your name be lifted up and your people be blessed. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offertory, please. God from whom are Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for this time that you have given us to come before you with a portion of what you have blessed us with, Lord. Every good and perfect gift comes from you and you alone. We thank you for being there for us, giving us everything that we need. You are gracious and most merciful even when we are unfaithful to you, Lord. We thank you for all those who were able to give joyfully today and pray for those who could not give today. Remember all of them in your love, O God. Bless them and help us to use this offertory for the blessing of your name in this community and around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated as we have a special now.
Our special today is going to be very special because we have a young person doing it. Lisa's going to accompany Ivy as she sings Amazing Grace. Congregation loves pop country music, so they would love that.
We'll read the scripture now. Ivy's going to read the scripture.
He's busy today.
He's busy today. Good job, Ivy. Come here. The gospel reading is taken from the gospel according to Luke. Chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. If you are able, please stand for the scripture reading.
When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume, as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with tears, and then wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisees who had invited saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 dinars, and the other owed him 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both of them. Now, which one of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one with a bigger debt. Forgiven. "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came to your house, You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but the woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, Who is this? Who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good job. Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of your word that you have given us to be nourished in our bodies, in our souls, so that we can be life and spirit to this world. Help us, Lord, to obey your word and open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. Illumine our souls so that we can see the meaning behind the message, so that it will be a blessing in our lives and also to this world through our lives. May the meditation of the word in our hearts and also my mouth will be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is another dinner that Jesus was having in a Pharisee's house that we had talked about before, that Jesus liked dinners, and he always enjoyed having company with people and having dinner. We see that all through the gospel in his life. So that may be one of the reasons as a church we like to have lunches every month, at least here in this church. We love to have fellowship, we love to have food also. And every one of us is very good at bringing the best food. That's another great thing for this church, that we enjoy the fellowship. But in this particular dinner that Jesus was invited was with a Pharisee. Pharisees are not in the usual circle of Jesus Christ, because he criticizes them every day. Pharisees and the teachers of the law. He called them hypocrites and he called them liars and he called them a lot of names. But this particular Pharisee, for some reason, invited Jesus for a dinner with him in his house. And Jesus went. But he didn't know what was coming when he invited Jesus, because here comes the most sinful woman known in that city, in that town, in that dinner, coming uninvited apparently. So, I told you about crashing parties, and be careful when you crash parties. Looks like this woman came there without any invitation, and probably she crashed in the party, but he came with a very important gift for Jesus. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. when this Pharisee, who is a self-righteous man according to the Bible, the Pharisees are self-righteous people. They always consider themselves to be the practicing the faithful in the community, and also they are closer to God than others. And they look down other people when it comes to spirituality and righteousness. So that is one of the things about Pharisees. But he never probably ever imagined that if this woman, would a sinful woman, particularly come into his house like this, crashing this dinner. But that is something that I paid notice to that. When Jesus comes into my house or my life, be prepared. Be prepared that he will be bringing some people with him. There will be uninvited guests coming and knocking at your door, and you may not feel comfortable. That's what Jesus is. So if you are thinking that you can invite Jesus and be with him and be comfortable in the righteous place where you are and be holy, that is not what Jesus is about. But wherever Jesus is, the sinners, the lonely, the grieving, the people who are marginalized by the society will crowd up around him. So please invite Jesus only if you feel comfortable around those people, because they are going to be with him wherever he is. So this Pharisee probably was surprised by all of these things about this woman coming in as a surprising guest. But she did a very amazing thing when she came there. It says that she was a sinful woman. Everybody knew particular in the community that she is a sinner. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume, a bottle of expensive perfume. And as she stood behind him in his feet and started weeping, and she began to wet his feet with her tears, and then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured the perfume on them. When the Pharisee who invited invited Jesus said to himself, if this man was a real prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, and that she is a sinner. And that's what the Pharisee thought in his mind, said to himself. That's what it says there. It was not just probably the Pharisee, probably a lot of people who gathered there thought about that. How can this prophet, who is a holy man, who is a prophet considered by the religious community as a great man in their circles, how can he allow a sinful woman to come near them? They don't allow that in the Jewish practice. Not only, not to mention touching him. And how can Jesus allow that? And they were judging Jesus and also this woman at that occasion. But Jesus knew who this woman was. And Jesus knew what these people were thinking also. So he knew everything that was going around. And then he told Simon, "Simon, I have something to tell you." Then the Simon, apparently the owner of the house, and then because he said, "You didn't give me water for my feet, and she wet my feet with her tears, and you didn't give me a kiss, but this woman kissed me," and all those things. So the name of the Pharisee that invited Jesus for the dinner was Simon. So he was talking to him. And also he told him a small story that two people owed money to a money lender. And one of them owed 500, the other owed 50. And both were pardoned and forgiven. And he said, "Which of them will love that lender more?" And Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven will love the lender more." And Jesus said, "You judge it correctly." So apparently, Jesus was teaching him that the sinner who was before them, that they are judging, is the one who loves God most dearly, because she acknowledged just the sins that she had committed in her past. And she knows the redemption, the value of redemption that Jesus can give her, because he can forgive sins. So she came to him and she was full of gratefulness. That's why she brought that expensive bottle of alabaster, which is the perfume, and anointed Jesus with that. It is so amazing how this story turns around and then gave the people who gathered around, the judging, the self-righteous people who were judging this woman, and also judging Jesus, was taken aback by the teaching of Jesus that it is about the kingdom of God, is about the sinners, about the people who are suffering and who are the people that society is marginalizing, and tell them, hey, you are not welcome here anymore because you are a sinner, you are an alcoholic, you are a drug addict, we don't need you anymore. That's not the mission of Jesus Christ. We have the open doors for our church and our open hearts. Whoever wants to come in and to be with Jesus, welcome here. That is what the ministry of Jesus is all about, and that's what the mission of Jesus is all about also. So this event actually follows the raising of Lazarus from the dead. As we read this with other passages in the other Gospels, the event comes right after the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And during that particular event that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, it made a big news in the community. In fact, that was one of the reasons why the Jewish leaders started looking for him and capturing him to kill him. That is when they decided really to finish him off. Because the resurrection, the raising of Lazarus from the dead really stirred up the community, and many, many people believed in Jesus Christ, and they were afraid that they were going to lose the power, the spiritual power and the church's power in the community. So that came after the rising of Jesus, and this Mary's anointing also came right after that. And Jesus then tells him, you know, why she did this is because Jesus said she did it for the anointing that you have to do when I am sacrificed and I am being put to death in the next few weeks. That's what Jesus was telling and reminding them when this happened. So she was actually doing an act of worship. According to the Jewish custom of worshiping, they have to bring alabasters, perfume. And when they pour that into the fire, it brings up fumes of smoke when they do the sacrifices and the worship for the Jewish people. So the whole temple and the surroundings will be filled with aroma when they worship God. In other words, as people of God, believing in Jesus Christ, when we gather together and worship God together, there will be an aroma that's spreading out of this place to this community. If there is no aroma, don't look at me, look at yourself. Because we are supposed to be the aroma of God, bringing honor and glory to God through our acts and then through our deeds and in our words, in wherever we are placed. That is the aroma that we are to be. Wherever we gather, whenever we gather in a group, if you are a Christian, you will bring a special aroma to that gathering wherever you are. And this community here that God has given us to share his aroma to this community around us should have that aroma around us and around this church. And that's what she was doing. She was actually anointing his body before his death. That's what Jesus was reminding them. She did it for a purpose. Because of the sinfulness of the pardon that she received from God for his sinful nature of life and the change that she got in her life, she was so thankful that she paid a lot of money. It says it was almost a year's worth of salary that she had to pay in those days. That's what the scholars are saying. That's what she spent. So our worship brings aroma and a special anointing to this community where God places us. If we don't spread that, our mission is not going to be fulfilled. We have to spread the love and care and compassion of Jesus Christ to others. That's what this incident is telling me, where we placed us. She was also using the opportunity when Jesus was alive. Remember when the women who went to anoint the body of Jesus with their perfume after Jesus' death? You all know the story. They went early in the morning so they can find the body and anoint Jesus' body. But they could not find the body. In other words, it is telling me that when you are given an opportunity, use it. And if you don't use it, you will never know what happens. Those other women were collecting all their gatherings and perfumes and all that spices together to anoint the body of Jesus the third day after his death. But he was no more there in the dead, among the dead anymore. So that opportunity was lost for them. But for this particular lady who was called sinful, she used the opportunity to worship God, to anoint Jesus with the money that she had, and she bought it, and she used the opportunity. So let us use our opportunities that God gives us at the timely manner before it gets too late, not waiting for tomorrow, because tomorrow may not be ours. And then she used that opportunity. And she did not care about what other people thought or other people talked about her. She knew that other people are not probably going to be good, talking good about her. But she didn't care about that. She only cared about what Jesus was going to be talking about her. And she did talk about her, because it says that all what she did will be heard throughout the history. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said to them, Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to them, to her, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So this is one record that is being reported in all the Gospels. Even after thousands of years, we are still preaching about this woman, because there is a reason that Jesus was telling her this will be preached about her all through the coming generations. That's what Jesus said in the other Gospels. So what she was doing was a great work of anointing Jesus and using the opportunity that she got appropriately at the right time, and worshiping God with that aroma. It is not a choice between giving God and giving to the poor. Some people in there commented that, why did she spend that kind of money? It could have been sold and used the money to help the poor. Many times the self-righteous people think like that. When we gather together and have fellowship and church and all that things, a lot of probably will criticize us. But God's opportunity that God gives us are to be used according to what God gives us. And let us use it faithfully. And some people, if you listen to many people's criticisms, you will never get anywhere. So it is not about giving to God and helping the poor. It is simply explaining that was done not as a choice between the two acts, but as a necessity, and would no more be criticized in Jesus' day as a modern man purchasing a coffin or helping with a funeral. That's what pretty much she was doing. So it is not about one or the other. It should be both. We should worship God, and we should also serve others. Whatever blessings that we have, it is not about one or the other. So the house is filled with the full of fragrance, that everybody knew that there was Jesus having the dinner in that house. Mary also performed an act of extravagant worship. And also his faith was acknowledged by Jesus, and her sins were forgiven. So as I say this, I am filled with overflowing gratitude, particularly during this season. I thank God for this church that God has given us, that we could worship together for the last 4 or 5 years now, that God has given us many, many opportunities. And we have gone through ups and downs, but God has kept us to be strong and faithful in this community to be a blessing. And I am grateful to my family, my children, my friends, and those who gave me company and gave all us company during this time, particularly during this holiday season. I am grateful because I am a Christian. And I am thankful for all those who have gone before us. So when I start listing all of these things one by one, there's no end to this list. As many of you, as you do during this time of the season, write down a list of things that you are thankful for. Thank for the people particularly. And if you are able, please pick up the phone and call them and give them a word of thankfulness to them. I was reading about a 13-year-old boy who was terminally ill. His name was Chuck. And this was in a book that I read from Metcalf. And the author of this book actually went and saw this little boy in the hospital. And when he was there, he had dozens of sheets of paper with writing on both sides in his table next to his bed in the hospital. And then when Mr. Metcalf went and talked to this boy and prayed with him, this boy gave this stack of paper to Mr. Metcalf and told him, "I want you to give this to my mom and dad after I die." And it's a list of all the fun things that we had done, all the times that we have laughed together. So Metcalf was amazed at this boy, young boy, on the verge of death, even at the verge of death, that he was thinking about the well-being of others. After the boy's death, Metcalf delivered the list to his parents. It listed the first day his mom took him to school. It listed his several teachers. It listed the several birthday celebrations they had together. It listed his dad who took him to the barber. It listed his siblings who played with him and a lot of friends who liked him. He had been writing these for the last several months while he was spending time in the hospital. Even though he was in pain and he was going through a lot of agonies, he took the time to write this so he can get away and forget the pains. He started thinking about the things that need to be thankful. So it stacked up so many papers writing these things. He had been writing this for the several months that he was in the hospitals. That made Mr. Metcalf to start a list of his own, and then found that he could not finish it. As he adds newer items every day, and his list still continues, as for happens to me also, and that will happen to you also if you start listing. So let us count the blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Let us be thankful. May the good Lord bless us these words as we go from this place. Amen. The closing hymn is hymn number 133, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. You are able to stand. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What to grab, what have I to fear, leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from people of God, go with a grateful heart to express our life and our gratefulness to God in every walk of life, in our words, our deeds, and our actions, everything that we do, have a gratefulness filled with it. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.